We are Pentecostal charismatic believers. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the distinguishing characteristic, and that's how you know if it is a full gospel church or not. Some people don't know the difference between full gospel and spirit-filled, but spirit-filled can just mean that people want the fullness that the Holy Spirit has to give them, but they don't believe in the administration of the gifts and the gifts of the Spirit, the overflowing power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's very important to know. How many of you know it's important to know what you believe? There was a denominational church that helped me and let me do various things that they probably didn't even believe in before Shekinah. And I just always loved those people because they didn't really know what they believed, but they were nice people and they helped me. It's very important to know what you believe. And I'm sorry, too, that some people are still on their vacations, but we'll pray for them when they come back anyway, those that want to be prayed for. But we are looking forward to the return of All Saints Day. And now, I shared with you last week that in 1910, only 5% of Christians in America were charismatic Pentecostal. 5% in 1910. Today, 1 in 4 Christians is Pentecostal charismatic. That's 25%. In Guatemala, that figure is 50%. In Kenya, it's 56%. In the Philippines, it's 44%. In South Korea, it's 58%. All over the world, you need to know this, people sometimes refer to Methodist, Baptist, traditional denominations as mainline churches, but they're not. These are not the mainline churches any longer. Charismatic Pentecostal churches have the largest number of members and influence in the world today, second only to the Catholics. So we are the mainline church in America today, and don't let anybody intimidate you. Oh, wouldn't that be strange? Isn't that different? I always say to people, oh, you know, it's what's taught in the Bible. Somehow people lost those truths and God restored them. They've been restored now for over 100 years, and we're so happy we're part. Did you know it's the largest movement in the world, I usually tell people? Because they think the devil, not they, but the devil wanting to trap you, wants you to think that you're weird, you're odd, you're different. You're not. You're just alive.
Amen.
What we saw today is different from what a lot of churches did this Sunday. If it hadn't been, we wouldn't have been as lively as we were. You know, having this today was having life and demonstrating life. When the Holy Spirit really returns to the churches again, we're going to see life again. Things are going to start happening in churches again. I like the story I was told. I think it was Kenneth Hagin was driving away from a church, and he said to the Lord, "That's the most boring church I've ever been in." And he said, the Lord said, "I was bored too." So the distinctive of Pentecostal charismatic churches is the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. That's the distinctive. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit for? Here's a misunderstanding. To some, it means nothing more than an experience I had, and I spoke in tongues, but my life has not changed very much. Now, that's the truth. But it should never be that way. That's not what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. The baptism of the Holy Spirit changes your life forever.
Yes.
It makes you different. It makes you operate different. It makes you think different. You know, in Acts 1:8, Jesus instructed, this is what he said finally to the disciples before he left this earth, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." Literally, power to be Jesus' witnesses is what this says. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is so that we will have the power to be Jesus' witnesses, not power to do witnessing. We've done witnesses, we've knocked on doors, we've stood on streets, we've gone to the mall and wrapped Christmas gifts to show we love. We've done a whole lot of things to do witness. But he gives you power to be witnesses. And I want to share with you what that really means. You know, it's power to do witnessing. Luke 10:18-19 says, "And he said to them," Jesus said, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, trust me today on what I'm going to be talking about. I did write a book on this. I wrote a book which the publisher entitled, I Saw Satan Fall Like Lightning. And Jesus said these words because people had come to say to him that we have found that the devils are subject to us, his disciples that he had sent out. So he said, that's because I saw Satan fall like lightning. And I give, that's an ongoing tense, not I gave, but I give you power. Now, this is important. That's the Greek word exousia, power, and it means authority. Everybody say authority.
Authority.
All right, I give you power. Now, there's another word, power, too, but it's not exousia, it's dunamis. And that means the dynamite power, energy. Exousia is authority. One is energy, the other one is authority. It's important to operate in both, or we can't accomplish very much. I give you the power, exousia, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the dunamis power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We have his authority, all of Satan's power. And I've taught many times on this, and I've taught not that long ago, the difference between power and authority. Don't have time to go into that today. But the Lord has, the devil does have some lying power, but we have been given by Jesus authority over that power. You have authority over the power of the devil. And it's very clear from this that he sends out his disciples on the basis of power, not knowledge. And today, training centers and seminaries everywhere are majoring in knowledge with very little teaching and understanding about power. You understand this? When I went to Bible school before I started being involved with CLST and teaching for them, where I got the degrees that I have, but when I was going to an interdenominational Bible school for a little while, I don't ever remember being taught about how to function in the power of God. But I'm telling you, I know a lot about church history, and I know a lot. I took every book of the Bible that they teach. All of these things I know. I know about the denominations. I know all of these things. I know some things, but that's not really what's going to get it done. What's going to get it done, anything that I do for the glory of God, is going to be done by his power, not my knowledge. Now, some people think they know a lot. I just always like that little corny sign in the souvenir stores that says, if you're so smart, why ain't you rich? I'd like to know if people today know so much about being Christian and serving God, why aren't they doing something to God's glory? The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, would empower us to be witnesses and to witness to who Jesus is and what he wants to give man. We need his power to be his witnesses. In Matthew 10:7, he said to his disciples, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Jesus said these things so many times. Cast out devils. He said it so much, I just wonder why so many churches never thought it was real. He really said, heal the sick, cast out devils. Freely, and then he adds, freely you have received, freely give. And I want to tell you how I see walking the born again, spirit-filled Christian life, being a person baptized in the Holy Spirit. I see it as a person walking this earth freely giving out to anybody who will receive it what God has given me. But I can't do that without the baptism of the Holy Spirit because I'd be too scared. People are so intimidated. The fear, people are afraid of each other. Well, I was going to do that, but I didn't know if I... Now, the Holy Spirit will give you discernment and you don't have to be afraid anymore. And he'll show you what to say to whom and when to say it, and you don't have to feel a lack of confidence anymore. You can go forth in His name. I think we need to say, I am going to freely give what I have freely been given. You say, can you say it? I am going to freely give what I have been given. You've been given this so that you can give it freely. But He's not really just talking about, and by the way, I really do think there's a time it's important to take someone some food and to do, maybe take them someplace they need to do. All these things are good and a part of the Christian life. But to have a Christian life with power, yes, we need to have the expectation that we can pray for people, yes, so they can be healed.
Yes.
And that we can, yes, pray for the oppression that they're under. And all of these things that people are dying for that nobody else is giving them. In Matthew 10, Jesus had instructed His disciples that they should heal the sick, cast out devils as they go. A lot of times people think you have to go first, or you can't do it, and you have to get there before you can do anything. I want to give you a revelation today. Do it on the way. Wherever it is you think you're going, whatever your arrival point is in your own mind, what if you did something on the way there? I honestly believe that there's more people than you would think that are waiting to get to some state or level or place in life, and then they'll have something to give people. I started, you know, I was one of those people that needed to be locked up after I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was determined everybody was going to know about and have what I had received. It totally changed my life, by the way, forever. Here I stand, still changed. It's so important that we know as we go, every day of our lives, we are to share this wonderful power that Jesus has given to us. Now, He's opening the plan, but He's not yet poured out the power over in Matthew when He's teaching. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. Here's what I'm calling you to do. Here's how I want you to go about it. But they didn't receive the power to do it until the day of Pentecost. It's kind of like you have a job. Let's say you've been called out. I heard there's somebody that's going to be moving here that's going to be training to be a welder. And so this person has the job they've been given. So they're to report each day for training. And then eventually they will be welding. But if they don't learn how to weld, and if somebody doesn't give them the power that is in the welding gun, or whatever you call it. Say, what is it, Eddie? Anyway, the welder shooter. If they don't have the equipment, if they're not empowered, if they don't understand, then they still are not going to be able to do it, even though they've come there to do it. Now, church, I think sometimes we've gone places to do something, but we didn't go with the power and we didn't go with the equipment. And sure enough, we didn't do anything. You understand? There's a price to be paid to really be full of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and to stay full, because you leak. And we need to continually allow the Holy Spirit ministry that comes through us to flow. So Jesus said that He was giving them the great commission, that they would go forward. And these were His instructions. He gave His plan and vision to His followers, and this is what they are to do, and He commissioned them to do it. In Acts chapter 1, He tells them how they will be equipped and empowered to do these things. The Holy Ghost will come upon you, and you shall receive power, and you shall be My witnesses. Now, that word for power is dunamis. That's the explosive power. It's not by might, not by our power, but by My Spirit, says the Lord. I was just thinking today as we were worshiping, all of this is happening this morning in the worship service because of the Holy Spirit. And He was the one that was convicting hearts. He was the one that opened up people to receive healing. He was the one that gave the spirit of liberty, yes, in the house today. And without the Holy Spirit, you have the same kind of dried up service that the intellect can produce. Just man's best thoughts. Even his kindest thoughts and his most loving thoughts don't compare to the power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:8, he tells the disciples, don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in power. He said, only then after that, you can be my witnesses. So listen carefully. I felt the Lord gave me this in 4 points. Number one, you can go without the power, right? Don't some people? Some people never have the power because they don't believe in it. They'll have some level of whatever power when they were saved, but they won't have this power to do what God has called us to do. You can go without the power. Number two, the power is what enables you to be a credible witness. A witness. The power is what enables you to be a credible witness. Credible means believable. If you have the power, people will believe you. They'll believe what you say. I told John this morning, our regular person we watch on TV before I come down here was, we didn't get him today, and so we tuned in this other fellow, and I said, I never did much like his delivery, John, but he did have some good things to say. But I was just, it just triggered my thought that even if you're not that animated or whatever as you speak, if you're anointed in the power of the Holy Spirit, you still will have power. I don't necessarily like for a person to jump up and down, turn cartwheels when they're speaking. It's not necessary to get my attention, is all I'm saying. But unless you really have this power, this anointing in you and on you, then you won't be that credible witness. The third thing, to go without the power, is being disobedient to Jesus. Because this is what he told us to do. Get the power first. Now, don't anybody look sad today, because I'm going to offer you what I'm preaching about today. Don't ever feel like, well, I guess I don't have the power. I guess I won't witness. Mm-mm, the devil said that. I didn't.
That's right.
Now, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how Jesus said you can do this thing in power and be effective. And number four, you are incapable of being his witness without the power of the Holy Spirit baptism. You can witness, you can share, you can do some good, but you can't heal the sick and cast out devils and do all the things that he's asked you to do. I thought of the scripture out of Acts 10:38 when you folks were praying this morning for Robert and Denise. Here's what I thought. The scripture says, Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And he spoke this to me. Robert and Denise have just been oppressed by the devil. And he sent people today to lift that oppression through the power of the Holy Ghost. As Jimmy said, we don't need a deep diagnosis. We need the healing. That's why we need the Holy Ghost. I promise you, church, you don't need to know so much. You need to have the power so much. Really. There are two things that we've misunderstood. Listen carefully. Number one, these are just a couple of things Jesus showed me. Number one, we have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and failed to use its power for his purpose. Some people, while they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and like Smith Wigglesworth said, I want the tongues. And he didn't leave after they prayed for him. He didn't leave until he came into the tongues. And because he saw that there was a powerful expression in that he wanted. But some people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit almost like, now there, I've finished everything I'm supposed to do. But that's not what it's for. It's power to be his witnesses and to do the ministry he's called us to do. It's not to just sit around, now I have this, I can feel better about myself, and sometimes I might feel a shiver or something. And secondly, we have tried to be his witnesses without first receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. We've done two things. Some people have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues, but they didn't step out in power and do what he said to do. Other people didn't receive the power at all and tried to be witnesses without it. Those are two mistakes. What the Lord's plan is, we will be his witnesses in power because we first received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, first.
First.
So the disciples obeyed. They obeyed what he said. They waited there 10 days in the upper room. Then the Holy Spirit was outpoured. There were 120 there that made it out of the 500 that watched him be taken away. Isn't that amazing? Just like church people. I mean, they heard, and they heard Jesus say it. To be taken up into heaven. And so they waited for the 10 days. They received the power of the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues. In the book of Acts, after the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there were several other times that the Holy Spirit was outpoured. In one situation, the house shook where they were. In every situation, listen carefully, you can trust me with this. In every situation where they received the baptism or the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it either says, I think in three of them, it says in plain words and they spoke in tongues. Others, it's very clear that there were supernatural manifestations, very likely speaking in tongues, I think. And so in 10:44, the scripture says, while Peter yet spoke these things, just one instance I'm reading you, the Holy Spirit fell on all of them that heard the word. It fell on everybody. You know, scripture says, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh.
Yes.
This is a sign of the last days. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. The sons and daughters, they're going to prophesy. They're going to dream dreams. They're going to have vision. The Lord is saying here, you know, there's going to be a real mix up and mash up in those days. Things are going to change. And you know, they have largely all over the world. And we need to quit dragging our feet in America. I think it's a big pride thing. I think it's religious pride. By the way, when you brought that word about the ship with the iceberg in front, and I do believe that strife is one of the biggest problems that's keeping us from that. And I said to Joan, I thought she was going to say a big iceberg. I thought she was going to say the spirit of religion. Because religion is what freezes out the work of the Holy Spirit. You can't. I'm glad we sang this song today. I'm not going to be bound by religion. You need to kick off the traces of the way they did it and somebody said it and whatever, and let the Holy Ghost teach you His way for today. So let me read. When Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all of them and heard the word, and they had of the circumcision believed and were amazed, as many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles also, these people around the edges, was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter said, well, then as long as they have received the Holy Spirit just like we have, then what's wrong with us going ahead baptizing them in water? Every now and then, if the Holy Spirit wants to, He mixes up the order. You need to be aware of these things. Don't be a legalist about it. Don't be in a big formula. But just walk with God and trust Him. If you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're willing to obey Him, you will receive. Now they had a brand new authority. Now they ministered in a brand new power. The fear had gone, and they went out and did what Jesus told them to do. You know, Peter, in Acts chapter 2, as soon as the Holy Spirit was poured out, he stood up and preached, and 3,000 people were convicted and came to Jesus through repentance. That's the same Peter that denied Jesus 3 times. Do not worry about it if you've been weak on this side of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is going to put you in a completely new world where you can lay hold on the promises of the Holy Ghost to deal with all of these weaknesses and sicknesses and blindnesses in your life. That same Peter that denied Jesus 3 times, who ran and hid when the pressure was on, but he had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit on that day, just that day, did it ever help his preaching life? And now he had the power to be Jesus' witness, really in power. Just Peter's shadow falling on people after that as he walked down the street actually healed their diseases. Now the Lord wants me to tell you something today, and not to forget it. The Lord wants me to tell you, the Holy Spirit does it all.
That's right.
It's the Holy Spirit we're after. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit we're after. And at times, the Spirit of God will just move. There are times that there will be special outpourings of the Holy Spirit. There's a little bit of mystery in just when and why and how and where He will do this. If you're not willing for a little bit of mystery, then just give up being a Spirit-filled Christian. He doesn't explain everything to us that He does. But He said to me, tell them it's all about the Holy Ghost and to get the Holy Ghost. Not only to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but do everything we can in this church to make a way for the Holy Spirit to be welcome. For example, the way we worship today is how you do that. You become free in it. You give yourself. You sing to the Lord. You pray. You do what? You become a part of whatever has happened. Gone are the days where we have people come to church and, you know, their posture's like this through the service, like, okay, God bless me if you can. Well, that's over. If you don't want to be blessed, you can just take yourself out the same way you came in. But if you do want to be blessed, unfold your arms. Try putting them up in the air. Nobody will shoot you here. And have an expectation that God is going to do something in your life. You know, we don't have time to play religious doctrinal games anymore. The time is over for that. It's time now for us to find out how to woo the Holy Spirit and how to keep His presence among us, because the Lord wants me to tell you today, it's all going to be done by the Holy Ghost, not by us. Now, He uses you as a channel and a vessel. And you got to be baptized and keep being filled so that you'll be powerful. But without the Holy Spirit, no amount of intellect or personality or any other thing is going to bring people into the kingdom of God. Our problem today is that religion has always tried to defend God without the supernatural power. But if we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and if the gifts of the Spirit flow through us, we're working under God's approval. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is actually an endorsement from God for us to deal with the devil. And I felt the Spirit of God said to me, this is why people are timid. This is why people pray like Yonggi Cho said in their early days. He prayed, come out please, Mr. Devil. You know, Orientals are nice people. They're like that. You can't say come out please to the devil. You tell him, come out in Jesus' name. You don't have to yell, but you do have to command. You do have to take authority.
Yes.
Don't be embarrassed about taking authority. By the way, baptism in the Holy Spirit ends the spirit of embarrassment in your life. It puts you in a different place of authority. That's what happens to you. And gives you the power that you need. We can't do the work He's called us to do without this power. It's in a supernatural realm. You can't cast out demons through counseling. You can help people. You can help get to some places to know what you ought to pray about. But counseling doesn't have the power to cause demons to go out. That's right, you can't talk him out. If he starts talking back to you, don't have a conversation with him. Because he'll lie to you. I've told you some funny stories about how he's lied to me at times. My dear Mr. Devil, in this one case, his name was Yorgut. And when I got around to cast him out, and I was really tired, and I said, come out. Come out, yogurt. And he corrected me and said, my name is Yorgut. After that, I learned not to talk to demons. You can't cast out demons through counseling. And he said, we should heal the sick and cast out devils. How many of you think in your own power you can heal any sick person at all? Best you can do is cheer them up a little. Do nice things for them. That's good. Please do that. But it won't heal them without the power of the Holy Spirit. And cast out devils. You will never cast out devils without the power of the Holy Spirit. Because you are facing devils and they are a real entity in the supernatural realm. And you better be clothed in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2:22, it says this interesting thing. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God unto you by mighty works and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, even as you yourself know. God showed his approval on Jesus through letting him do these miracles. And he shows his approval on you by allowing miracles to flow through you. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in order to confront and subjugate the devil. And we need to know that we have this power. Without the baptism of the Spirit, we don't have the ability to take authority and enforce the victory of Calvary. If you're dealing with a situation of spiritual oppression, we're not to pray, Lord, please help this person not be so oppressed. They've been praying that for themselves a long time. They need somebody now, you, that can take authority over those devils. Because they haven't been able to, that's why they are oppressed. Without this power, you will always be weak and insecure. This is why you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Without it, you'll always be weak and insecure. Now, let's say this today. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is given, the scripture says, to those that obey him and to those that ask, then they may receive. So you need to make up your mind now. You want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you haven't been obedient, then you're going to set yourself to be an obedient person. That's very important. And then you've got to ask. Somebody else is not going to ask for you. When you come forward and you're prayed for, they'll probably say to you, just lift your hands and say, Lord, I receive your Holy Spirit. Do what they tell you to do. These are good people. They've been here a while. They all know what's involved in this. We have led many, many people into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and their lives are absolutely changed. We have been supernaturally empowered to do impossible things with divine ability. That's a fact. And this is the criteria for ministry in the New Testament. It's not a certain education or degree. It's power from on high. We've been supernaturally empowered to do impossible things with divine ability. You witness to the fact that Jesus has the power to love, to deliver, to heal. This makes you truly his credible witnesses. Now, how to receive the baptism, and this is the last thing that I'm going to share with you. But I want to come down there. If you will help me here just a minute, because I want to get down here where I can look right into your eyes. It's a wonderful day when you have the opportunity. If some people don't, I imagine there are some people that have heard this message today that you haven't even known that you could receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You didn't really know what it was. You didn't really know what it was for. So that's the reason that I shared some of these with you, that I trust will be the answer to these things. But this is a very real thing, and this is where the power comes from. I thought the Holy Spirit was unusually kind, unusually in my mind, because he doesn't have an unusual in his mind. But I thought it was unusual today that the Holy Spirit would demonstrate himself in the service. Yeah. So that you could understand, I'm talking about a supernatural move. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. We're asking the Holy Spirit now to move and to baptize people so that they can be empowered. And there's some people here this morning who have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you have a desire, especially having heard an explanation today, you have a desire to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, as Jesus said we should be, as all of the apostles and following disciples were, and which is the source of how we're going to minister to people. I saw you ministering to each other this morning. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He looses your bondages, and you no longer think, well, I can't do this. You forget about you, and suddenly the Holy Spirit begins to flow through you. And that's what makes for a powerful church and a powerful service. So I wanted to just share this with you, that Jesus himself said in John 7, verse 37, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, this is the last day of the great feast. Jesus went up on a hill, and he cried out. He called out to people. And he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water. How many would like to feel that wonderful experience. And Jesus said this. This is not some Pentecostal preacher down the road. This is Jesus, rivers of living water. But he spoke of the Spirit which they that believed on him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Is that as clear as can be? Jesus had to go back into heaven and be glorified. Then he sent back the Spirit of the glorified Christ. He sent back a new germ and a new empowerment of the Holy Spirit to those that were waiting expectantly. They'd been waiting there for 10 days. He wasn't going to let it happen until the day of Pentecost. Because that was on his calendar, and God has planned everything from the beginning. And today is the day of Pentecost. I believe a wonderful day to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I want to say this to you to help you understand. Is that baptize means to immerse. When you were born again, when you were saved, you got a portion of the Holy Spirit. The scripture says, if any man doesn't have my spirit, he's not mine. So you do have, and you've been given that. You have a measure of that. But Jesus wanted that to come into you, to sort of put you into a spiritual realm so that he could prepare you now to be full of that wonderful spirit, so that you would use it for the purpose that he sent it for. So Jesus calls this, in one place he says, you'll be endued with power from on high, or immersed. Now either way, immersed is to put under the water and completely, but in this case, not only are you under the water, it fills you up inside too. You're full of the Holy Ghost on the inside. But a baptism into a thing means that you come through some things, doesn't it? You come through some things. You say, I've been baptized in the understanding of relationships. You know what I'm saying? That means I've done some things and I've had an experience and I've been baptized clearly into that understanding. So it's immersion, and it's also endowment. Jesus said, you'll be endued with power from on high. You know the word endue? It's like when you dye something. Let's say it's white and you put it in a black dye and you leave it, you immerse it in there, and when you bring it out, because it has taken that very black into itself, then the white becomes black. This is what happens to you. You've taken this power into yourself. You're endued with power from on high. I think the dying example is a good example of when John was a little boy. He called and asked to speak to his grandmother. She was dying close. And they said, she can't come to the phone, Johnny. She's still dying. And he went into gales of tears, really, crying, my ma can't be dying. My ma can't be dying. So to die means to be imbued, or imbued is like to die. It means that even everything that is a part of you, you just become saturated. I'm talking about being saturated with the Holy Spirit. That's what makes us powerful. That's what enables us to walk in power. In Acts 2:38-39, Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. They cried out and said, what must we do? The people fell under conviction. And Peter said, if you'll repent, just turn from your sins. Hey, repent means I've been walking this way, now I'm going to turn and walk that way. It doesn't particularly mean some gooey feeling, but the gooey feeling will come and just really turn you inside out. If you will first make the step, I have made the decision to turn from this. Repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Luke 18 says, the Holy Spirit will be given to those that ask him. And the book of Acts says he will give him to those that obey him. So he's asked us to repent of our sins and to repent, to turn from the way we've been going, to set ourselves to be obedient, and then to ask the Lord to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. Now, and here's the last thing. Sometimes people are waiting to be conked on in the head or a lightning flash. Now, receive first. It's like everything else we get by faith. It says, if you ask, you will receive. So then after you ask, then you begin to say, Lord, I receive. I receive. You promised you would give it. And you said, how much more shall the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? If the Father will give good gifts to his children. If he asks for an egg, he won't give him a stone. So whatever you're asking him for, you're asking for the Holy Spirit, he's going to give you the Holy Spirit. Now here's what we're going to do this morning, and we're going to honor the day of Pentecost, and we're going to believe the Holy Spirit to bring you into another place. I mean, here's what it'll be like, folks. It's like you open a door. Like if you walked over to that door and you went outside, the atmosphere is different. And you can see a whole world out there that you don't see in here. That's what receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit's like. You come into a completely new world. You become a different person. And you think and respond and believe and act completely different. I'm going to tell you what else happens. Then you have power to do the impossible.
That's right.
In yourself and for other people. It gives you a supernatural lifestyle. Don't expect to be normal again.
Amen.
But come into a supernatural lifestyle. Okay, if we could have some music playing. I want to invite, let's stand together for a moment, please.